Welcome to the second episode of the monthly data modelling podcast produced by Mark Morgan for DjangoModelling.com. This monthly podcast will discuss many different aspects of data modelling, the principles and the practice, based on what I have learned through years of experience, how to make the right choices consistently. And we'll start today by talking about the chicken and the egg. Last week, we looked at what we should model and the importance of scale and magnitude. We need to also acknowledge that the data we model will normally be stored in a database. Modelling is the mapping between the real world and the filtered picture of the real world that we wish to present efficiently from a database. Data modelling is not always easy. There are so many different ways to go wrong. We may model too many attributes, or information may be left out that is badly needed. There can be incomplete lists of possible values for a field, or duplicated but subtly different values. We can use incorrect storage types. Should this one be an integer or a real number? Should there be two digits after the decimal point or three? Control of the content of fields can be too flexible or it can be too restrictive. Information can be broken down into too many pieces, or not enough. The same information can be stored in more than one place, and it will normally end up different if we do that. Information which is vital is missing simply because it wasn't a mandatory field, while all sorts of unimportant nonsense can creep in and fill up your database. Even bad spelling can make good modelling useless. So let's start with some simple truths. How we model our data must depend on how we expect to use the information. How we are able to use the information in a dataset will depend on how we have modelled the data. If our expectations are wrong or unclear, we are unlikely to be successful in our modelling. As a result, our dataset will probably be incomplete or inefficient. Once data has been entered into a data model, the data can only be used in ways that the model allows. We cannot search for non-existent data, nor can we search quickly if simple and frequently used searches require us to fetch every row in a multi-terabyte data store. These conflicts can sometimes lead to paralysis. What can I do, you might ask? I can't model the data until I know how I will use it, and I can't know how I want to use it until the data is actually stored in the data model. History reminds us that only God truly knows the end from the beginning. In this newsletter, however, we will try to provide some ways forward. Paths through the jungle that, with reasonable care, will reliably take you where you want to go. Strategies that work time and again. So let's step right back to some very simple modelling and set some ground rules. Everyone has to start somewhere. An expert in any field does their first work sometime. Every data modeller does their first piece of modelling at some time. Whether you are an expert or someone wanting to start newly into data modelling, here is an example of data modelling in its simplest form. Instead of a piece of paper as I used in the past, we will use a database table with columns. Imagine you have a cupboard, and it is full of pots. For some reason, known only to yourself, you decide that you want to store information about your pots in a database. You are not interested in knowing the shelf they live on, or which room in your house contains the cupboard. Your interest is solely in information about the pots themselves. All sorts of different names can be given to the data models we might produce: logical models, physical models, conceptual models, and so on. For the time being, we will put all of that aside. We are simply trying to store information about a physical object in a database table, and how we do it is up to us. We start with giving our table a name. This seems simple enough, but be aware that there has been lots of conflict over whether the name should be plural, because it will contain information about more than one pot, or singular, because each row in the table is a single pot, Either is logical, either is reasonable. Most people will have a preference, and I'm no exception. Let's call your table pots. Yes, plural. Oh, and another thing. In giving your table a name, you are making a whole raft of extra decisions. Standardization, capitalization, characters used, and all sorts of other things. But we can also ignore them for the present. Maybe another time we will look at those. Each pot in your kitchen cupboard will be represented by a single row in this table. So, what do you want to know about your pots? What will distinguish one from another? This is real data modelling. Do you want to know what material they are made of? Does it matter to you where you bought them? Is their colour important? When did you buy them? Do you care? How much did they cost? Or can't you remember for half of them anyway? For most people who simply want to use their pots, most of these characteristics are not important. Okay, then, what characteristics do we care about? Here we use the same method for modelling as we use in ordinary life. When we go to choose a pot from the cupboard, we make a choice based on a few characteristics, such as, firstly, the type of pot we want. Is it a saucepan, a frying pan, a wok, an egg poacher, or something else? Secondly, the size, and that might be the diameter or volume or the number of items it will fit. It can be different things. Thirdly, is it available? It may be currently in use for cooking or storing something else. And fourthly, has it already been used? Reuse can minimize cleaning work afterwards. And then we have the final question. Do I like it? We all have preferences and tend to use the same items of equipment all the time. When storing information in a database, we will store each attribute in a separate column, choosing the column type based on the information to be stored. Numbers will be stored in a column with a number type, text in character fields, and so on. We've named our database table, and now we need columns to store the information about each pot. Naming columns is another minefield, just like naming tables. All sorts of logic can be applied to avoid naming conflicts and ensure consistency, and we'll ignore that too for the time being. Let's simply say that this is our database, only we will be looking at it, and other people's opinions do not matter. The full practical example of storing information about our cupboard full of pots and pans is given in a blog post at djangomodelling.com/table-columns. I'll say that again, djangomodelling.com/table-columns. Well, we've come to the end of our second episode of the Data Modelling Podcast, and we hope that you enjoyed it. The next episode is planned for the first Monday of December, when we will hope to look at the modelling of connections between objects. In the meantime, if you want to enjoy reading similar information, why not visit the djangomodelling.com blog at djangomodelling.com/blog. Until next time then, that's it from Mark Morgan for djangomodelling.com.